Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. Okay, so another dramatic airplane water landing. It was a World War II airplane flying in a Florida air show. Had to make an emergency landing in the water, just feet away from a beach full of people.
Yep.
There's audio, two separate Twitter posts. These people were the closest.
Okay, so this is,
he'll be okay.
Just so you know, the water, it's coming up on, the plane is in the water.
Right. Yeah.
The pilot gets out and he's standing on the plane.
Right.
People, like four or five guys are running into the water to save the
diving
pilot.
Diving in, yeah.
And these people are like,
he's all right.
He's fine.
He's okay. He'll be fine. Okay.
Yeah, he's not that person who's going to, he's not a firefighter, not a first responder.
No.
Yeah.
I'm glad you have such confidence, but we should double check. Maybe, before we say that.
He's the guy with the cell phone.
You get him out of the plane. You get him out of the water. You get him on the beach. You say, you okay? Yeah, I'm okay. And then you turn to your woman and say, he's going to be okay.
He'll be okay.
Yeah. He'll be okay.
That's him saying, I'm not going out there, and here's my reason.
There's enough guys out there helping him right now.
He'll be all right.
The guy with the red shorts jumped in already. All these people's in.
I know it seems like I'm a pussy, but he's going to be okay. It's not me. It's him.
Someone's got to stand here and film
he's
this.
He's going to be okay.
If it was me that landed, like, I wouldn't want people running out. That's embarrassing.
You know, I would have landed the plane on the beach, to be honest with you.
Okay, and then here's... Yeah, and they just sit there.
Yeah.
And right. They're watching the rescue unfold.
Something to do.
All right, and then here's another angle. Whoa. Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness.
Whoa.
You don't really see that every day, so how do you respond?
Right. Oh, my freaking God!
Yeah, I think I would say holy S.
Yeah.
Yeah,
There'd be some curse word in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Holy F!
Both these guys are pretty composed.
Yes.
This guy watches the whole thing happen. It'll be all right.
As we can.
It's going to be fine.
Yeah.
You don't see a plane land in the water every day. Now, when you watch from that first angle... That plane is about 20 feet from a person.
Yeah. There's one person right in the water.
There's one person.
Yep.
Swimming out there.
Right.
Ugh.
And clearly, people knew this plane was coming in and had problems because they got their phones out and they recorded it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You see it coming down.
So what's this guy? So he must have been the guy who's like, watch how far I could swim out underwater.
Oh, God.
He pops his head up like,
oh, damn.
Like that guy in Caddyshack when the boat's coming.
Right. The eyeballs are really big.
Yes.
How tough of a landing was that in the water for a World War II airplane? Where back then, they didn't really build them for water landings. It was like, yeah, if it goes down, yeah. It's nice knowing you.
Yes.
Let's bring in our airplane guy, Dick Napinski. He's Director of Communications for the Experimental Aircraft Association. How hard was that landing?
That landing was challenging. You'd have to give credit to the pilot. Boy, there are a lot of things happening right there that you have to be ready for. You've got, first of all, people on the beach, which means that you're not going to land on the beach. You were talking about that before. So you're going to set it down in the water. You've got waves coming in. So if it catches a wingtip, suddenly your day's going to turn very bad.
Oh, wait. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah,
so the option would have been landed on the beach, but it's like, oh, damn it. There's people.
People.
Right. There's
damn nice days out.
That's when you're putting people in front of your own life.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I might die now, but I got to save the people.
Exactly.
Yep.
Wow.
Exactly. And so, you know, hit something cheap and soft and stay away from people and property. And
wait, cheap.
Cheap and soft.
I'm not going with cheap. If I'm coming down and I might die, it's like, well, that canopy looks expensive.
Right.
Tough.
I'm taking that out. That pavilion, mine.
Yeah. All right. So as a pilot, you have to pick your landing spot real quick, especially when that. What do you think was wrong with that plane?
Something happened with the engine. Just kind of conked out. It might have been oil pressure. Might have been a cylinder. Might have been one of a whole bunch of things. And like we've talked about before. Well, now the folks from the NTSB and FAA show up and take it all apart and talk to the pilots and say, what happened there? It's interesting because that airplane just got out of restoration last year after 18 years.
Oops.
And was starting to fly air shows.
Beautiful plane. You can hear it's kind of running rough before it hit the water.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, he was actually cleared to land at, well, what's now called Patrick Space Force Base down there on the Florida coast. There used to be an Air Force base, but he determined he could not make that runway. And so I said, okay, what's option B? Well, it looks like if I can stay, 100 feet out like this, set it down in the water, keep it level, and get out. I'll stay away from the people on the beach. I'll be close enough to shore that I can get in there. I don't have to suddenly swim a quarter mile through ocean tides. And, everything will be okay. And, he did exactly that.
He was great.
Yeah.
He did great. Now, to go back to why the plane crashed, I could tell you right now because you said it. It took 18 years to restore that plane, which means it was someone's weekend project.
Yeah, exactly.
That didn't go into, like, the plane restoration company.
Right.
They're like,
but they test everything out afterwards.
Those engines normally have a problem with it. Make sure, Jimmy, you check that.
Right.
This is some guy in the garage.
Yep, wrenching.
Know?
Yep. I used to fly one of these years ago.
I fixed my lawnmower. I can fix this.
Yeah, simple problem.
But is there a part of the pilot's class that covers panic?
Yeah, you try to subdue it as best you can at that moment. As you can imagine, adrenaline is running pretty high at that moment. And so what you have to do is go through, okay, engine isn't starting. We've tried all those things. Where do I set up for the landing? And it goes back to what you've been taught in your training. It's, okay, now you've got to make the forced landing. Where are you going to do it? Where are you going to set it down? Those are the type of things that they go through. And I wouldn't doubt that they probably talked about that someplace in the air show briefing. He was flying as part of the Cocoa Beach air show down there and just said, okay, these are your emergency outs right here. Use your training at that point. And so, credit to the pilot. You heard there were no woos going on there. Like you guys were talking about the governor's order there. No woos. Maybe the pilot when he got out, but that was about
it. Yeah. That was more of a woof.
Woo, I made it.
Yeah.
Yeah. More of a woo.
Or a different end.
Yeah.
Yeah, that pilot, do you think it was his plane or was he flying someone's plane?
What it is, it belongs to a group called the Valiant Air Command down in Florida. They have a museum down there, and they were the group that actually did the restoration project. A lot of people who were what happens is you get a lot of retired aircraft mechanics, volunteers who are familiar with these airplanes, people who are certified in aircraft mechanics and technicians, and they work on these airplanes. You mentioned in the spare time, a lot of volunteers put a lot of hours in that, and after you make sure everybody's okay, then you go, oh, man, my baby sitting in the water there. So fortunately, landing next to the Space Force base, the military came right out and guarded that airplane very well. You may have seen some photos from that they're standing on the beach in front of the airplane and just saying, okay, everybody stay away from this thing. Don't go salvaging out there in the water.
Wow. That's what do you think about these air shows?
Oh, I think they're tremendous. We've got one of the biggest ones in the nation here every July, where we get about 10,000 airplanes for the week and about half million people. And so and we have a lot of shows that feature these vintage warbirds that fly throughout. And they're beautiful airplanes to see, meticulously restored. Love to see them. And every so often, though, something does go wrong. And so that's when you have
a lot
qualified pilots like that.
Yep. A lot.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a few times.
We were supposed to do an air show on Long Island, and it was a horrible accident the day before. Horrible. Like multiple people
died. They make the news because they are fairly rare. But what you're doing is a lot of times you're doing maneuvers with these airplanes and so forth. And so it takes a lot of concentration, takes a lot of practice. I know our groups that fly the warbirds do a lot of formation flying together to practice what they're going to be doing and be a part of it. So But the air shows certainly bring out people. People love to see these World War II airplanes fly, and, you know, we're going to keep on doing it.
Man. Maybe just park them.
Yeah.
Folks will look at them. Oh, that's
then
nice
we could get a lot closer to them.
Exactly right.
It was, I went to Edwards Air Force Base in California for an air show, and it was too windy.
All right.
So they couldn't put any airplanes in the air. But the B-2 stealth bomber was already up in the air, which was so great because it just kept flying back and forth.
Right.
That was our air show.
Yeah, that's good enough.
And seeing that thing come by is the closest you will get to seeing spacecraft.
Right.
That thing looks like it just flew in from another planet.
And another time.
Right.
Yeah. This is from the future. And you don't hear it approaching you.
Right.
And once
exactly
it comes
right,
by
yeah.
you, it's full on black. You can't even think. It's
what?
So loud.
I can't even
but
think
AJ,
so loud.
The, the difference between seeing it 5 feet in front of you and 5 feet on the other side of you, the sound, it goes from 0 to 20 on a 10 scale. It's insane. And, you know, by the time people hear the sound, it's too late.
Exactly.
They're not even hearing the plane now. Right. They're just hearing ba-boom, 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 ba-boom.
Right.
Unreal.
You've been annihilated already.
I was like, when I saw that go by, I'm like, I'm never going to complain about my taxes again.
Ever.
If we're making stuff like that, that lasted by 3 days, but still.
That's cool.
That was nuts.
Wow.
It is, yeah. We've had those at Oshkosh, too, here, and that they are something to see. It looks like the world's largest bat coming at you at that point.
It's Batman.
It's insane. What did you think about that Mars helicopter?
Oh, man, was that cool? Was that just, you know, they called it a new Wright Brothers moment. And the funny thing is, the interesting thing is, the atmosphere there is only about 1% of the atmosphere on Earth, and so to get enough rotational speed on the blades to be able to lift it up in the air is an amazing feat of engineering.
I was going
to
ask
about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really fun to watch. You know, it's one of those little short hop things that, wow, you just talked about our tax dollars at work and you just go, wow, we did that. That's cool.
That's nuts.
You know, and what are we going to discover out there? I don't know, but boy, the fact that we can get out there and explore that and see what's out there, see what opportunities are out there. Incredible. It was a lot of fun to watch.
I lived out in California, and, you know, if you don't have all the yards running sprinklers all night, that's what it looks like. It looks like Mars, basically.
Arid.
That don't have sprinklers,
so hot.
It's just sand. We went out to California, and we're going to put some grass on this sand and just water the crap out of it.
Otherwise, it breaks and you step on it.
But, you know, we've all had those remote toys.
Yes.
The cars or the little helicopters.
I still do.
And they get a little bit out of range.
Right.
And they just drop.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, we're out of range.
Oh, it goes haywire.
This is Earth to Mars.
Yeah. That's some batteries in your remote.
Precision.
Right. Precision.
Crazy. New batteries.
I knew you'd geek out on it.
So. Oh, definitely. You know, and you can imagine those engineers. You talked about remote helicopters. This, to them, is their ultimate toy. This is, you know, this is what engineers live for at NASA at this point. I know a couple of them, and they were geeking out yesterday, whether they were involved in the project or not. They were just saying, this is so cool. Look what we can do. I wish I was flying it right now.
Right.
Wonder how much that toy cost.
But these kids, I'd love to see a Netflix special on what they were doing when they were like three.
Yeah.
You know?
Calculus.
Splitting atoms in their basement.
Then we weren't throwing gum against the wall like I was.
Yeah. They didn't go in with the little volcano project.
No, they did not. No.
No.
Look, I made a light bulb light.
Yeah.
Of a battery.
I made a potato clock, yeah.
Dick Napinski, the airplane guy, director of communications for the Experimental Aircraft Association. Thank you for coming on. Appreciate it. Mysterious creature stuck in tree. A resident in the Polish city of Krakow.
Krakow!
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 Release the Krakow!
Sounds like a ricochet. Krakow!
Called animal welfare because the creature had been in a tree across from her house for 2 days.
A bobcat!
No, I'm not a bobcat!
Quote from her, people don't open windows because they're afraid it's going to enter their house.
Oh, there's a creature in the tree. Tree creature.
Cat?
The treacher.
Treacher.
The treacher.
Inspector Adam. Inspector Adam and another animal welfare agent went to check it out. After they arrived on the scene, they eventually spotted the creature.
There it is.
And realized it was a croissant.
Someone threw their breakfast out the window and landed in the tree. How do we get it out of there? Never mind, let's get some butter.
Maybe the tree elves made it.
They concluded that someone may have thrown the croissant out a window as a treat for the birds, and it got stuck in the tree.
What a waste of everybody's time and money.
Everybody's got their windows closed, but keep away from this croissant.
What?
Keep away from the croissant, yes.
Even have a clicky pen?
Try that again.
Everybody had their... screw it.
One more time.
Everybody had their windows closed to keep away from this tree creature, the croissant.
Yes.
Tree croissant.
Yeah, it was funnier a couple moments
ago. A croissant. Who wastes a croissant? I've never in my life had one that I haven't finished.
Yeah, seriously.
What's a croissant doing in Poland, first of all? Have a punchki.
It was imported.
And what does it say about that croissant that no wild animal ate it?
Right.
It sat there for days.
That good?
Well, they are frustrating. I mean, they're good sometimes, but like there's nothing really to them. They flake away.
They have to be hot.
They have to be hot and buttery because I can't. She's like, maybe that person was hungry and wanted more and was like, I can't take this.
Yeah. And then, you're feeding birds with a croissant.
Some fat birds.
You know, do you feed a baby spicy chili?
You could.
A bird's stomach with salt, butter.
Yep.
Sugar.
Not good. Yeah. Maybe chocolate. Who knows what's inside that croissant?
Right. First, too
almond
fat.
Almond paste.
Right. Too fat to fly.
Oh, that's the best. Almond paste.
Here, Grandma, have some battery acid. What does it take to become an animal welfare agent or the inspector?
Right.
You have to be able to tell the difference between a wild animal and a croissant.
Right. Right. Yep, that's a pastry.
That's a cheese Danish.
Confirmed. Bakery item.
Right. That's a donut.
It wasn't even another animal.
You know, that thing hasn't moved in days.
It must be pregnant.
What is happening in Poland that they're afraid of croissants? We don't know. We're not even opening our windows.
Hey.
We refuse to figure it out.
If a croissant climbs a tree, I'm staying away too.
Yeah, but do they have it figured out to where they can send two people out on this call?
Right.
Wow. You think on the way back, they're like, you want to stop at that bakery? Some coffee and croissants?
Right. I'm in a mood for a croissant.
This one's kind of stale.
Raspberry jam or something? I'm getting ham and cheese on mine.
Yeah, I think if the animals didn't eat the croissant, someone threw it out the window not to feed the birds.
No.
They're like, this thing is hard.
Yeah, I can hammer
the
window.
That's what happened. Someone left for a few days, came back, it was left out on the counter. And they're like, wow, we can build a house with this thing.
Yeah, we can hammer and nail with it.
Right.
A bobcat!
A bobcat!
A bobcat!
A croissant!
We're very excited and thrilled to have Jack Sonny on. Dire Straits. It's very exciting. Hey, Jack, good morning.
Good morning. How are y'all doing?
Good, thanks. So you're born in Pennsylvania, spent a lot of time in Connecticut, so we're claiming you as our own.
You don't mind, do you?
Sure. Absolutely.
All right.
So it's where I landed finally, you know, so.
Mark Knopfler, Clapton, Dylan, Sting, Keith Richards, Peter Townsend. Let's start with Live Aid's Wembley Stadium. If you look at the lineup between the United States and the UK, it is the greatest musical event in the history of the planet.
Well,
everyone was there.
Yep, pretty much.
Sting with hair.
So you guys went on before Queen.
Yes.
Right? Definitely better than going on after them.
Absolutely, given the performance that they put on.
Bring us through
that. Awesome.
Bring us through that day. So what's the backstage vibe like?
Well, they had set up a Hard Rock Cafe in the back in the sort of as a VIP area hang, and then there were all these. If you saw the Queen movie, they did a pretty good job of showing, like, there were little cafe tables set up and there were, you know, areas to hang out. And Straits had we were playing, there's Wembley Stadium, which is where Live Aid was, and across the parking lot is Wembley Arena, which is, you know, about the size of the Civic Arena, downtown Hartford. And Straits was playing a 14-day run, sold out, in the arena, and we literally walked across the parking lot with our instruments and wow. to play the set. And I'm sorry, man, I'm going to take another sip of coffee. It's a little early here for me.
No, that's okay.
Right. Must suck for the drummer carrying his drums.
I know.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Exactly. Guys, a little help over here, please. 16 yeah. damn tons. I keep on going back and forth over here.
You made 18 trips.
Yeah.
Now the cymbals.
Terry just had to take his sticks. I think just, okay, because
cool.
How they ran this thing, and I'm going to jump around a lot. You can reel me in where you need to. But how they ran it was they had a circular stage that had three band setups. So they would turn the stage, and one set would be band set would be broken down while the other was on stage.
It's the giant lazy
one was being
Susan.
Set up.
Yeah,
exactly.
It That's
was crazy.
Wild.
I remember
yeah.
that, and it was so on the money in terms of time and organized. It was
oh, it's
really...
unbelievable when you. The logistics of putting something like that together in 1985, right? Was it 85? Yeah. I mean, the other piece of this, we were in Europe before that. We had started the tour in April, and we were all over Eastern Europe, and, you know, we had been to Israel and Greece, and at one point, phones and internet, you know, any real internet. The only connection we had to the world was the occasional MTV Germany show or whatever that you could maybe get on Sky TV in the hotel. And one day we're on the bus, the tour manager gets on the bus and says, oh, hey, you know, when we get to London, Bob Geldof and I forget who else was involved, but Bob Geldof, they've organized this big charity event called Live Aid, and the band's going to play a set. That was all. That's all we knew.
Like, okay. So,
yeah, why not?
I'm that's all I knew about Live Aid until I got to London and, you know, flipped on MTV at one point, and it was like this huge news. Everybody, you know, it was like this big event was happening. I had no clue. Absolutely no clue, which was probably better, actually.
Surprise.
Surprise. Yeah. So backstage, is it just... This area where all of these musicians are just hanging out?
Yeah.
I
yeah,
feel like that
ridiculous.
Must have looked like, you know, when you go to Disney World and they have that, like, Hall of Presidents?
The Hall yes, of Presidents, right. Yes.
Look, there's
like,
so-and-so.
You must be looking around like, holy crap.
There's so-and-so.
Oh, so, yeah, you know, the whole thing, look, from the beginning of that gig, it was just like a dream. I mean, it was like out. Wizard of Oz. I got plucked out of Kansas and like was suddenly, right. you know, hanging out in Montserrat recording an album and look up and George Martin walks in and, you know, shakes my hand and says, you know, it's a pleasure to meet you. And, you know, I'm just dumbstruck.
Right. Do you bow?
Yeah.
The producer of the Beatles and he's like saying, nice to meet me. I'm like, and then, you know, Neil Young walks down the hall one day. He happened to be sailing throughout the islands, and he goes into the studio. It's like, there's one of my heroes. Like, that's interesting. Sting's wow. coming for dinner, you know. But at Live Aid, so we were playing these gigs, and there's a whole other, you know, and again, I'm not a short story writer. I'm a novelist, so my stories can go on. But you let me know when you need me to give you the Reader's Digest.
I've already decided we're having you back multiple times.
Yeah, you're a regular.
We haven't asked you yet, but in my mind, you're coming back. So,
right. Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate it. You know, I got it. As a quick aside, is, you know, playing in bands in Hartford, you know, out of music school and running around before I moved to New York, you know, I listened to PLR all the time.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
You know, and I was like, you know, one of these days, man, one of these days, I'm going to be on that radio station. One of these days.
Only boy.
45 years.
Right.
Only
boy.
45 that years,
day
but here
is
I
today.
Am.
Oh, no. We gag, were playing you, know? You on the station when Brothers in Arms.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, it was, you know, I'm deeply honored to have been part of that album. It's a great album. I think a masterpiece.
Iconic.
I think it's Mark's masterpiece. And it was a real honor to do that. So back real quick to Live Aid. Morning of Live Aid, at 10 a.m., all of the bands who are performing line up in the order that they are going to perform that day to be introduced to Prince Charles and Lady Diana.
Oh, wow.
And this was the second time in 1 week that I met him. So, don't get too excited. We were old friends by that point.
Well, I'm just realizing I'm talking to someone who met Princess Diana. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, there's a story there, too.
Again, we're having you back. So write that down. Princess Diana.
So we're all in a line, in order, and there's, like, the guys from Spandau Ballet, and it comes down, or Status Quo was the opening act, and Spandau Ballet, and it comes down and around the corner, and, it was Duran Duran. They might have been in America. Anyhow, this wow. big, long line, it comes around the corner. There's U2, and then us, and I'm the last one in line of the Straits guys. And to my left is Brian May and Roger Taylor and John Deacon. And then there's like Elton John and David Bowie, to my left.
It's insanity.
And I'm like standing in this line, and, Diana, and Lady Diana and Prince Charles are coming down, and I'm talking to Brian May. I'm just like, dude, when the first Queen album came out, I took the album cover into the hair salon in West Harlem, pointed to your picture and said, cut my hair like this dude.
I want to look like him.
And and Brian, all these cats that I met, all these people, all these heroes. I played with Townsend. I played with Clapton. These people were so kind to me and so nice and so generous and so effusive with their comments that, it was just unbelievable. And, we're all hanging, we go backstage hanging out in the Hard Rock Cafe, and we're watching U2, do their thing, because they've got all the TVs set up so you could watch the feed from back there. And the door opens up across the room, and Roger Daltrey and John Entwistle and Kenny Jones come walking in, and Pete Townsend is last in line. And I had played with Pete like two or three nights before that. And he makes a beeline, sees me standing there, makes a beeline, walks past everybody in the room, comes up and gives me a big hug and a kiss and says, I had so much fun playing with you the other night. And I immediately spilled my coffee on our keyboard player. Like, dude, Pete Townsend just kissed me. It's like I had his poster, on my bedroom wall from the time I was like 12 years old. And it was really, one day I woke up and it was over.
You almost think you're going to wake up and the alarm's going to be going off like, oh, that was all a dream.
Damn it.
Yeah. It was honestly kind of like that, because as quickly as it happened, when the tour was over, it was over. There was, Mark took, I don't know, 2 or 3 years off at that point. And when he went back out on the road, I wasn't involved in it any longer. I had started a new life anyhow at that point. I'd moved to L.A.
Yeah, twins, right?
I had my daughters, yes, and kind of switched gears and decided that I didn't want to put, a family through the ups and downs of, waiting around for touring.
That says a lot about your character. Seriously. That you put them first.
Sure,
like,
does.
After all of that, Peter Townsend's kissing you, and Brian May knows that you went and got your hair cut like him.
Spilling coffee on people.
John's over here. Princess Di's over here. It's hard to just say, I'm going to hang out and change diapers.
Exactly.
Duty calls. And
literally.
I got into marketing for, some of the musical instrument manufacturers and had a, almost 30-year career in that. Did very well. And then at one point decided that it was killing my soul And once my girls were old enough, I decided that I was going to go back to being a starving artist. And I quit. I just walked away from the corporate world. And I've been somehow managing to just, you know, pursue my dreams and my art, you know, in the meantime.
I told him during the break, we have a surprise for him. I said, but it's a good surprise. It's not like an ex-wife surprise.
No.
Well, he forgot to say that he played at the Hartford Civic Center.
Yes, we did. Absolutely. Who's that? Is that Jimmy?
Ah, surprise!
Ding.
Hey, yeah. Brother, how are you?
I'm great. Great speaking to you. I love listening to your music. I love your Facebook page, and I love being your friend.
Oh, man. Same. Back at you, brother. It's been a long time. And, you know, thinking about how, you know, what the connection was back in the day and how we got to be friends and stuff. It's a lot.
I was in front of two sold out houses at the Hartford Civic Center. And I have to tell you, you were a star on stage. We did have that guy Knopfler on the stage, but you really moved really nicely on stage. I'll never forget that.
Thank you, man.
Jimmy Koplik, Live Nation Concert God, Jack Sonny, Dire Straits go way, way back. And I was just telling Jack, Jimmy, during the break that watching Jack on stage, every single performance, there's a joy and an enthusiasm that is infectious. You know, he wasn't just there like, I'm playing another show.
Right.
He's jumping around like a little jumping bean and having a great time.
Yeah, that move with his feet that I remember so well. It really, I remember it. What was it? 36 years ago now. That's how long ago it was.
Yeah, at least. Yeah. It, you know, the thing about playing, how do you call it work when you're having that kind of fun? I mean, it's what I love to do. And just a quick story was, you know, I studied guitar with Elliot Randall, who was the guitar player in Steely Dan and did the lead, is best known for the lead in Reelin' in the Years. And I was playing in New York after he convinced me to move to New York, and I was playing in a little club and with this band, and he came to see me. And on the break, he asked me, he said, are you having fun? And I said, I kind of like looked around and went, yeah. And he goes, well, it doesn't look like it. And I said, huh. And he was going to sit in, and he said, you watch. Watch what happens. And he got up and like just, you know, just in this small club played like he was playing in a stadium, and just the room just kind of lit up, and he was smiling from ear to ear and picked up a beer bottle and played slide and did all this stuff. And after he came over and sat down at the table and said, tomorrow morning when these people go back to work, they're going to remember me.
Wow.
They may not remember the band, but they're going to remember me.
You know, it's funny.
And I was like, yeah.
Well,
that changed my shit. Oops, sorry.
That's okay. That woke us up too.
You know, and it was like, I'm doing something that people wish they could do. And I am so grateful to do it. Let's have fun. Come on.
If you watch the Live Aid's performance with Dire Straits, you are the one that anyone would remember. The long red coat, the big giant smile. You're having so much fun. Wow, you definitely took that lesson to heart and made it your own.
I
have to go
that,
to a break. Jimmy, thanks for coming on. We love
Jimmy.
Jimmy's... Always my pleasure, guys.
Jimmy,
Jack,
will be back.
You're wonderful. Love you. Stay healthy.
Love you too, man. You too. Stay safe out there, brother. See you soon, hopefully.
All right. Thank you, Jimmy. You know how this all started? Jimmy picked his top five albums of the 80s, and Brothers in Arms was one of the albums. Then he said Jack Sonny is from Connecticut. We're like, what?
Exactly.
Then,
like that.
And
harmony.
Then now you're on. So thank you to Jimmy Koplik for that. And Jack, thank you.
I was wondering how that happened.
We'll chat with you tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay,
thank
great.
Thank you guys so much. This
thank
was
you.
A lot of fun.
I'm not letting go of Jack's leg.
Nope.
Stay with us.
Let's go to our dating coach now.
Hey there.
Hello.
Karina Alexander.
Morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Hello.
How's everyone doing?
Good. So what's the deal? Now, if you can't get a date, what do you do?
Give up.
Well, you should be able to. If you're single, you should be able to. Especially in this age of online dating.
All right. Let's talk to the person who is finding it to be difficult to find a date.
Like man or woman.
Let's go with a 27-year-old dude.
Okay, and he's having trouble finding a date.
Yes.
Just he just can't get a date. He just can't get a date with anyone or his dream girl.
You got to help me out here.
Yeah. With anyone.
All right. Because some, you know, a lot of guys will just date to date until they find their dream person, you know. But, all right. So I would make sure he puts up a profile online. Go online because there's a lot of good people online. And I'm sure you all know people who've met people online. I wouldn't put up a shirtless photo.
Okay.
No,
don't
a lot of guys
okay.
do that.
Now we're getting to the helpful information.
All right.
Hold on.
Keep your shirt on.
Keep your shirt on. You know what? I think guys think women, you know, like it, but it's a turn off to most women because we're like, yeah, eventually we want to see you with your shirt off, but not like before we've even met you.
It's a bad message.
So this is a tip just for men's profiles.
What if they're a lifeguard?
Yeah, yeah right. I know. Women are different than men. You guys know I really believe in the differences between men and women, but yes.
Hold on. I want to write down a list.
No shirts.
Right.
No shirts.
Wear a shirt.
No, wait. Wait. No shirt?
Wear a shirt.
Or am I put?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
420.
Wear a shirt.
Wear a shirt.
Got it.
Sorry, I have a list of like bad things, and no shirts is one of them.
Okay, so wear a shirt.
Wear a shirt.
Let me put this out there for you. What if you're in great physical condition?
I know.
And you're a health nut.
No.
Yep.
And also, I'm sorry, I was talking to the dating expert. When was the last time you were on a date?
But I'm a lady.
That's
I'm
not
telling
Eric.
You from a women's perspective. Just no.
No.
Wear a shirt.
Eating doesn't make you an expert.
Eating expert over
no,
here.
No, but this is, and here's the kicker.
Yeah.
And if Mr. Jumping Bean over there would have waited, maybe he's looking for the kind of girl who would like to see that in a dating profile.
Yeah, but it's still, I know what you're saying, right? The man wants to show that he's physically fit. Okay, one thing, a lot of guys who think they're physically fit really aren't, because a lot of guys put shirtless photos up and they're not physically fit. But even if they are, you know, you could show it in other ways. Like, I think women like mystery. Men like mystery, too. But women just don't want to see it all out there. You can have a shirt on and we can still tell that you're muscular.
Okay, like, wear a shirt that flatters your...
Yeah.
Physique. Okay. Right. All right.
And
okay.
You know what else is really bad? When they take selfies on their Tinder or even Match profile in front of like a toilet.
Yeah, like clean your
toilet.
And it's not. I think it's just because men don't think like women. Women like a pretty background. You know how women are. We like pretty. We're big into aesthetics more than men. Men don't really think that us seeing a photo of them like in front of their toilet is like kind of a turnoff.
Sorry, AJ, go ahead.
How about in front of their car?
So the car is not the worst thing, but it kind of is a cliche.
Hold on. I thought he had something on the bathroom.
No.
Because he's taken them and we've taunted him and he's taken them down.
Right. Most men, that's the only mirror they've got, I think.
It's true.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
that's right.
Hold it.
You're right. That's probably why.
Go ahead, Ashley.
You got to clean up your towels and your fried chicken.
Yes.
Fried chicken?
Yeah.
Why is there fried chicken in your bathroom?
Fried chicken?
Do you eat wings and you poop?
Not me.
Fried chicken.
Yes.
In the bathroom.
Yes.
You just threw that out there so casually.
Like she saw that picture.
Because it happens all the time.
No, it doesn't.
What do you use for dipping sauce?
Clean up your bathroom. Clean up your bathroom. I don't want to see your towels. I don't want to see your takeout containers. I don't want to see your fried chicken.
What are you putting in your dating site if your algorithm is bringing up men with fried chicken in the bathroom?
Just saying, clean up.
No, it does though.
It's like
she's
a morning
right.
show.
Clean
she's
up.
Right.
Yes,
honey, I gotta go to the bathroom. Where are the nachos?
Exactly. Right. I need some finger food.
Now,
quickly.
Is it a whole chicken? Like at Kenny Rogers Roaster,
oh, no.
Like at the supermarket,
a bucket of KFC.
Fried
it's like
pieces.
Bones.
Extra
is it bones?
Crispy.
Like bones?
It's bones or like half-eaten fried chicken tenders
in
like
the bathroom.
Yes.
Where's my duty Dorito bag? I gotta go.
Who the hell do you know?
Right.
Guys don't care because they're too busy flexing without a shirt on. Clean up your fried chicken.
Who eats in the bathroom?
I don't know. These guys.
Well, she must have put some code words in her dating site that brought these people to her.
Right. I want to see your parts.
Italian, East Haven.
Right.
Love food.
Those would be meatballs.
Right.
I don't want to see your meatballs.
In the bathroom.
She's right.
No. All right. So let's act like the fried chicken thing. Just, you know. Okay. So we'll just give you that. Okay.
Separate issue.
Right.
Yeah, it's
so
gross.
One, wear a shirt, and then two, no picture in front of the toilet. But and you both bring up a good point. Clean up around your.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Surroundings.
Yeah, because you don't want to see wrappers and like a half-empty pizza box,
right?
Or a bathroom with just a sink full of junk where you can see the person's not organized,
or towels, a curtain,
or hair when you shave your beard.
Oh gosh,
or other things.
Yeah, there is a little preparation. Like act like you're putting your house on the market because you're putting yourself on the market, and the girl has to look at the picture, and she's going to look at the background.
Yep,
and she's going to. Say to herself, would I feel comfortable in this place?
Right. Why is there a fork in the wall?
Exactly.
And her like, you could be.
Just going to say that.
I was going to say you could be Brad Pitt, but you could be Brad Pitt in a dump. But if you're not Brad Pitt, right?
Right.
And you have to look at your surroundings and say, would she say I feel comfortable here? And if it's no, then you got to clean up.
Yeah, you really do. And try to get another mirror. I mean, that's a good point. Men don't have many mirrors, probably.
So get a full length from Walmart, put it someplace in the house?
Yep.
Okay.
Or have a friend take one when you're at dinner. Or take it at dinner.
The mirror picture to me is
just not
is
a fried
bad.
Chicken dinner.
The fried chicken? Man, that's the way we
just don't do it.
What the hell? I'm
trying to help some guys out here.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't think about it. And because... they just don't think as much about their profiles as women do.
No, but the mirror
really
picture,
should.
The mirror picture for a guy is bad.
Vanity
is bad.
Go out and buy an $8 phone stand and set it up and take a million pictures. You're working here, guys. You're working here.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
This is a job.
Yeah.
Minimal
one.
Your job is to get yourself a date.
Find the one.
It's like looking for a job. And exactly.
What's next?
Well, one thing, when I work with women, I tell them to avoid men who write form letters. By that I mean letters that they cut and paste and send to like 200 other women.
Oh no.
They do that. A lot of men do that, and it's just an easy, low effort way of getting a lot of dates. So the woman doesn't feel special. And I tell women when I work with them to definitely avoid those guys, because those guys are often, they didn't even read your profile. They're maybe not even into your look. You know, they just want lots
of dates. No, they're into the look. No, they keep scrolling if they're not into the look.
Exactly. No, they're into the sex.
They something keep swiping or scrolling if they're not into the look. They're into the look.
Yeah,
they cut and paste. But
like you said, are desperate, and they do just want something. So they send like 200. And also, actually, scammers do that.
How about not talk a lot during your dates? All right, hold on. Nothing. So the next time you're on, I want you to grab one of these form letters and read it to us.
Just kind of curious.
Okay.
All right, that'll be tremendous.
Yeah. Oh God. Can we do that? Yeah. I'll find you one.
We won't use names.
There's some funny ones. Okay. Yep.
Okay. So wear a shirt. No pick in front of the toilet with food or fried chicken.
Right.
No form letters. What's next?
Some tough rules.
Be careful of bad grammar. Women go nuts on that. And some of the online comments I was reading to you last week.
There, and there. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
There's
women
three
go
different
nuts.
Versions.
Your. Just get right.
Your.
Apostrophe R.
Yeah. Is it your
it's
or you are?
It's like you know, really bad typos.
This is from the person who spells Colonel with a K.
That was not writing. That was auditory.
Yeah, but her yours are good.
I'll never mix up a your there.
Right.
She can't pronounce stethoscope.
Right.
That's
right. We're going to take her grammar challenges.
Try it.
Everyone has little things they do wrong. You know, I don't.
Ashley, go ahead. Try it.
I hate it when the doctor uses a stethoscope.
Your. Back to you. No further questions. We're on defense rest.
Thank you, Ashley. Back to you in the studio.
Okay. Grammar. That's a good one.
Yeah.
So you could because you could spell check, right? People will forgive bad spelling, but if you post something, this is your job now. You're applying for the most important position.
Well, look at idiot. Yes.
You look at it as a job. That's what I tell clients. Look at it as a job. Exactly.
All right.
Because it kind of is. You put your best forward in the beginning. And you know what women
do? And then you can slack off.
Good point. If you're in a bathroom shirtless with fried chicken,
right,
it doesn't get better. It's not
right.
gonna. This is the best.
That's
it's,
who you're
I'm
dating.
Going to see you
right,
right now.
Exactly. And you can't spell?
Yeah.
And you can't spell.
Your.
Yeah, this is okay. This is all good. This is good information. Okay.
And then a lot of men do this. They want to show how popular they are. So they have photos of them with tons of women.
No.
Right? Ashley, you know what I'm talking about, right?
It's horrible. Don't do that.
Guys, it's a fair amount of guys online do this. To show they're popular. But it's very annoying to women. We're like, well, what, are you dating these women?
You're
you want
a player.
Me to be part of your entourage?
Yes.
Yeah, you're a player.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What if they're mannequins?
Then you're just weird.
Worse, right.
That's when the woman visualizes herself in the back of a van with duct tape over her mouth.
Yeah.
All right, so no mannequins.
Okay.
They also put pictures of their little kids. And that one is a little... Women are very sensitive to little kids being on online dating sites.
You're invading their privacy, and you're using your children as a prop to get a date. Yep.
That's bad, right?
You bet. Exactly.
Just checking.
Okay.
No, it's true. They do.
Woman.
How about somebody else's daughter?
So, kids.
It doesn't usually work the way the guys think it does. Women really do get turned off on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, you don't want to see the kids.
Dogs will work, though.
Yeah, dogs. I was going to say, though, no fish, because it's like a cliche. A lot of men have been doing this.
Oh, my God. I want Ashley to write a little pamphlet on her dating life experience, because I can see there are words that are triggering memories.
She knows what I mean by big fish. Do you know what I mean? Just the big fish photo.
Big fish photo?
What, like the Billy Bass singing on the wall?
Or like you have a really nice goldfish at home? Look at my koi.
Like with your arm around the tank.
Right.
I picked this one.
Women know what I mean, because it's like such an online cliche. And it's not like they would not... I would still tell them to go out on a date with a guy. I mean, it's not like the worst thing, but it is a cliche, and it's like, oh, gosh.
It's like the fake outdoorsy picture that people post. Like, see, I do things outside.
Yeah, but it shows she's the keeper.
No, but you should post some pictures of you doing different things. Like
activities.
If you're skiing.
Yes.
Right.
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 Your hobbies.
Right.
Pushing your car home.
So I like cutting trees. I should not put a picture of myself, if I were single, of me holding a chainsaw with a big smile on my face.
Yeah, no.
No, I think the picture of you without pants in the cart chasing the geese is more appropriate.
That's a good one.
That shows you're fun loving and get things done.
What if you're a woman? Picture with the kids?
No.
Yeah. I think it's good to keep the kids out of it.
Leave your kids out.
Because it's unfair to the kids,
You're invading their privacy, using them as a prop to get a date.
Yeah, especially with child predator issues. I don't know. I would just be careful about it. And most women don't do it. Men tend to do it more. But for women, okay. So
you have a thing
women,
about guys. I see that.
No, I just think men and women are different. Totally. You know, women, really all they need to do is keep their photos current, have really good photos. So men do complain to me about women. They say women's photo, you know, I went on a date with her. And it was from 20 years ago. So, no, I'm an equal opportunity, critiquer.
We'll get to the next time you're on, we'll do the advice for women and their profiles.
Okay. Yeah, and I'll get
somebody
a letter, too.
Somebody texted a question for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know who this is, man or woman, but they said, what if I have an awesome dad? Should I show that off?
Oh. The funny thing is, that's sweet. It's a very sweet question. But you know what? A guy, we probably think it's a girl, right? Well, maybe not. It could be a guy.
I have no idea.
I'm guessing it's a girl. But you know what? Either way, I don't think the opposite sex is going to date you because your dad's awesome. You know, 3 months in, whenever you're ready to introduce him to your dad, that's going to be great. But he's not going to approach. I have a feeling it's a woman. That
no, you know
that.
What that makes me feel like? It makes mm-hmm. me feel like you need to bring these other people in to sell you.
Right.
Right. Right. There's no reason.
You can't stand alone.
Or you have daddy issues.
Yeah. And also, it's less mysterious. Because when I coach women, I tell them to be mysterious. Because men like mystery. And I think if you post your whole squad of friends and then your family and your pets, I mean, a little bit of pets, I think, is maybe okay in your third or fourth photo. But the main photo should just really be you. Good headshot. Second photo should be a good body shot.
What
not
do you mean?
A bikini.
Like the full body, not without a shirt.
Right, exactly. Like your full body, because it's only fair. Yeah.
Okay. One more rule for the guys. So we got one.
You know what, guys? A lot of guys do, and women tend to do this too, and this is not good. They because they're putting negative energy out there. It happens. Well, I'm looking at the screenshots now from clients that clients sent me. Not here for games. Please don't match with me if you're not going to talk. I dislike liars and braggers. It's like putting these men are putting this in their profiles and
men are
brings a lot. Yeah, it brings a lot of negative energy. I think right from the beginning, it almost makes in what I've. My experience, what happens is these men have had bad experiences, and they're just putting it out there already that they've had these bad experiences. And
what does that
them.
Say, though? I've been on this car lot for so long, I've seen mm-hmm. every tire kicker.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, yeah, like no one else would buy me.
Nope.
And now I'm going to bitch about the people who didn't buy me.
So buying me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of negative energy, and it's a turnoff because women, you know, an emotionally healthy man.
That also sounds whiny. Like if a guy posts that,
yeah.
like stop whining.
Girls do it all the time.
That's all right, but guys
no,
can't do
a,
it.
It's not about
no.
Yeah.
It's more.
All I get is wow, you are a nightmare.
Woo!
I have 5 sentences in, I'm like yeah, okay.
High maintenance. Keep moving.
This is your introduction. That's
yeah.
me.
Right. This is your selling.
You're
point.
Selling yourself by just ripping people apart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's a lot of negativity, and no one wants to be around that. I mean, unless you do, and then that's fine, but that's not the kind of a relationship I would coach a woman into or a man into.
All right, so we got our top five mm-hmm. here is wear a shirt. This is for guys mm-hmm. putting together a dating mm-hmm. profile. Wear a shirt, no
yeah.
pics in front of the toilet, no form letters, watch the grammar, and don't put tons of women or kids in the pictures with you.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good list, top five, yeah.
Yeah.
Those are good.
Well, you made it.
Really.
Yeah, really. That's why you like it.
She's complimenting herself. It's fine.
Good job, Karina. Thank you, Karina.
Next, we're going to go through the list for women. We'll have you back for that.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
All right, Karina Alexander. We're linked up to all your things on the radio station website.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.